Today is April 26th, 2023. It is 1530, what is that? 1536, 1535 hours, coming up to 1536, 100 hours, or 1536 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green, pleased to be with you today. Today, I hope we're going to see some interesting things. I'm very interested to see how this turns out. I'm experimenting with some new techniques in the broadcasting arena here so that I can get the colors less offensive to the eyes. And this song is written by and performed by the singer, songwriter, guitar player Jeff Healey, a Canadian who died at the age of 41. It's called See the Light.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a very unique musician, Mr. Jeff Healey, and he's going to play a song called See the Light. Jeff?
Jeff is playing the guitar on his lap. This is 1988. He's about 22 years old. The bass player. His name is Miller. Marcus Miller. And Dr. John is on piano. And Omar Hakim is on the drums. This is Dr. John playing piano. He's wearing a fedora. Jeff has long hair. He's wearing a long-sleeved shirt, a dark shirt. He's playing the lead here. It's an electric guitar, possibly a Strat. Marcus Miller and Omar Hakim are both dark-skinned. Dr. John is light skinned. Jeff is light skinned. Jeff stands up and he's playing his guitar with it pressed against his hip without a guitar strap. Now he's throwing his head back several times. He lifts his guitar up to his teeth and he's playing the strings with his teeth. He's plucking the strings with his teeth. Still. Now he puts it down again. And he sits down. He's using a technique with his finger and thumb, his four fingers down and lifting his thumb and putting it down again on his left hand on the frets. Now he's playing all over with various techniques on the fretboard. Okay, with his left hand. He stands up again. He almost hits his bass player with the guitar, and now he lays the bass, lays his own guitar on the chair back, and now he stomps on his guitar on the ground and picks it up again. He threw his guitar on the ground. He thanks the audience. Okay, so he threw his guitar on the ground at the end and stomped on it, and still got sound out of it, of course. He was still making music with it. Now, of course, what some people, if you are impaired in sight yourself, you may not realize that Jeff is blind. He was blind from before the age of 1 year old, and he had both his eyes removed before he became 1 year old. So we're fairly certain he was blind. But near the end of that song, he brought his guitar over top of the chair back and rubbed the strings, but with his guitar upside down, he rubbed the strings against the chair back, the top of the chair back, to produce sound. And then he threw the guitar on the ground and stepped on it with his foot to produce sound. Then he picked it up again and kept playing. So all of those things happened. And in the course of putting the guitar on the chair back, he almost hit the bass player. He came fairly close to the bass player with the head of the guitar protruding over top of the chair back, and the bass player standing behind the chair, of course, playing nearby. And that was the song. Can You See the Light? Or See the Light. It's just called See the Light by Jeff Healey. He was a Canadian from Toronto. Okay, so I've got an inverted color scheme today. I figured out how to do that by some research. We don't need this anymore. Maybe we should save it. Perhaps. I don't know. I'll save that later. Let's just bring it over here somewhere. Yeah. Okay, so in our article today, Little Children, from Wild Road, Part 1, Chapter 7, Paragraph 10 now, we talked about the prenomen or the throne name of Apophis, the king of Egypt, being Akhenenri or Agenor in the Greek myths. And Phineas was the son of Agenor, Poseidon, and Phoenix, in different versions of the Greek mythological traditions. And Phinehas, with an H, is one of the priests in the Bible, which also confirms the representation of Moses by Phoenix, according to our identification also of Joseph as Poseidon. In, for example, the article Joseph and On, there can be little doubt among believers about Israel leaving Egypt in the Exodus at the time written about by Moses in the book of the same name. But still, we tread softly for the sake of the unbelievers, as we need not hold to all details as given above by Cosmas. We read a passage by Cosmas into Koplustes yesterday. As the region of Phoenicia was indeed the area settled by Israel after returning there, Moses fits the person of Phoenix in that he is sent out by Agenor and later settles in Phoenicia, and the Phoenix bird of myth has to return to bury his father before dying, as Moses is sent by Akinenri, in a sense, and returns the bones of Joseph for burial at Shechem, but dies before arriving. The parallel is a truly wonderful one to witness here. Camudi was driven out of Egypt by Amos, and with the Hyksos brought writing as Cadmus to Greece with him. From the Phoenician alphabet, the Greek also developed. Phoenician, in turn, is based on Egyptian hieroglyphs. To illustrate this, Mr. Forster has an artist draw the bodies of Pharaoh and some animals depicted as lost in the letters of the tale of the returning of the water. The artist remarks upon the uniqueness of the posture in this one of the known Sinaitic inscriptions. Here Pharaoh and his horse are separated in panic when the waters of the Red Sea return upon Egyptian forces. And here we see the inscription right here. The initial publication of this inscription was upside down, and that's why we can see here the upside down version, and the one below it is the correct orientation. We see how this top version here, that it doesn't really look like people running because it's upside down, for one thing. It doesn't look like anyone's running there. But the one below it, if we look at that one, it does look like there are feet on the ground, more so, definitely. And we see, looks like a person running there, that shape of 2 feet on the ground. And then there's another shape here, which could be a, looks like the shape of a helmet. It's got the brim of a hat there. When you look down below, Mr. Forster had an artist draw the top half of a human body here to show how that could be a person running. And then that could be, the other thing could be the helmet in the foreground, larger and showing the brim of the helmet. It's very, very possible that it evokes vivid feelings of these events, much more so than when it was upside down, for example, which we saw above. And here we see the horses depicted by the artist, but also by the letters themselves. The legs of the horses fit very well, and in one case the back of the horse with the tail fits very well the drawing of these letters of the Sinaitic inscription, which appears to be talking about the parting of the Red Sea. And the way we can see that is when we translate it, when Mr. Forster translated it, he said, this is what it says, fleeth the swift long horse, raising both 4 feet together, going at full speed, his rider dashed to the ground. Pharaoh, running with long strides like a fleet horse, takes startled flight, casting off violently with both hands to quicken his pace, his helmet. So he casts his helmet off violently with both hands is the content of what's being translated there. And we see there is a helmet, or what easily could be a helmet there, as if in the foreground, with the figure of a man running in the background, and the horses over here also running. They're the only content being either the back of the horse or their legs in the actual inscription. But the artist has shown where these horses may be very convincingly added to the picture in a way that just brings it to life as depicting these events. So it appears to be that the language of Hebrew and or Old Arabic, and of course hieroglyphics, is in fact a very pictorial form of language, or in the case of the Abjads, Hebrew and Old Arabic, alphabet, a very pictorial alphabet. It really brings to life this event of the parting of the Red Sea. Here's another animal here, too. There's another animal there. There are several different kinds of animals, it looks like, in this in this drawing, or it's in this passage of text written in the language of the Sinaitic inscriptions. And added in by the artist in terms of the bodily forms of these animals. But that's all for the study of the Wild Road article for today. Our proverb for today is Proverbs 20, verse 4, because of winter, the lazy one will not plow. He will be begging in reaping time, but there will be nothing. And from the book of Exodus, chapter 8. Then Jehovah said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, and you must say to him, this is what Jehovah has said. Send my people away that they may serve me. And if you keep refusing to send them away, here I am plaguing all your territory with frogs. And the Nile River will fairly teem with frogs, and they will certainly come up and enter into your house and your inner bedroom and upon your couch and into the houses of your servants and on your people and into your ovens and into your kneading troughs and on you and on your people and on all your servants, the frogs will come up. Later on, Jehovah said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch your hand with your rod out over the rivers, the Nile canals, and the reedy pools, and make the frogs come up over the land of Egypt. Over the land of Egypt. At that, Aaron stretched his hand out over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs began to come up and to cover the land of Egypt. However, the magic-practicing priests did the same thing by their secret arts and made the frogs come up over the land of Egypt. In time, Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, entreat Jehovah that he may remove the frogs from me and my people, as I want to send the people away that they may sacrifice to Jehovah. Sounds like he's having a change of heart. Then Moses said to Pharaoh, you take the glory over me to say when I shall make entreaty for you and your servants and your people in order to cut the frogs off from you and your houses. Only in the Nile River will they be left. To this he said, tomorrow. So he said, it will be according to your word in order that you may know that there is no one else like Jehovah our God. In that day, the frogs will certainly turn away from you and your houses and your servants and your people. Only in the Nile River will they be left. Accordingly, Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried out to Jehovah because of the frogs that he had put upon Pharaoh. Then Jehovah did according to Moses' word, and the frogs began to die off from the houses, the courtyards, and the fields, and they went piling them up, heaps upon heaps, and the land began to stink. When Pharaoh got to see that relief had taken place, he made his heart unresponsive, and he did not listen to them, just as Jehovah had spoken. Jehovah now said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch your rod out and strike the dust of the earth, and it must become gnats in all the land of Egypt. And they proceeded to do this. So Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and the gnats came to be on man and beast, All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt, and the magic-practicing priests tried to do the same by their secret arts in order to bring forth gnats, but they were unable. And the gnats came to be on man and beast. Hence the magic-practicing priests said to Pharaoh, "It is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart continued to be obstinate, and he did not listen to them, just as Jehovah had spoken. Then Jehovah said to Moses, "Get up early in the morning and take a position in front of Pharaoh. Look, he's coming out to the water, and you must say to him, 'This is what Jehovah has said. Send my people away that they may serve me. But if you are not sending my people away, here I am sending upon you and your servants and your people and into your houses the gadfly. And the houses of Egypt will simply be full of the gadfly and also the ground upon which they are. And on that day I shall certainly make the land of Goshen upon which my people are standing distinct, that no gadfly may exist there, in order that you may know that I am Jehovah in the midst of the earth, and I shall indeed set a demarcation between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign will take place." And Jehovah proceeded to do so, and heavy swarms of gadflies began to invade the house of Pharaoh and the houses of his servants and all the land of Egypt. The land came to ruin as a result of the gadflies. Finally, Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, "Go, sacrifice to your God in the land." But Moses said, "It is not admissible to do so, because we would sacrifice to Jehovah our God a thing detestable to the Egyptians. Suppose we would sacrifice a thing detestable to the Egyptians before their eyes. Would they not stone us? We shall go a journey of 3 days into the wilderness, and we shall definitely sacrifice to Jehovah our God, just as he has said to us." Pharaoh now said, I shall send you away, and you will indeed sacrifice to Jehovah your God in the wilderness, only do not make it quite so far away that you are going. Make entreaty in my behalf." Then Moses said, "Here I am going forth from you, and I shall indeed make entreaty to Jehovah, and the gadflies will certainly turn away from Pharaoh, his servants, and his people tomorrow. Only let not Pharaoh trifle again in not sending the people away to sacrifice to Jehovah." So Jehovah did according to Moses' word, and the gadflies turned away from Pharaoh, his servants, and his people. Not one was left. However, Pharaoh made his heart unresponsive this time also, and did not send the people away. Exodus chapter 8 is now concluded. And I want to talk a little bit about my remarkable watches. I have a watch here that's 1 second slow after 10 days. It's 1 second slow after 10 days. It's a mechanical watch. This is a mechanical watch. It's called Crow, this watch. It's 1 second slow after 10 days of not having been reset. I have another watch after 8 days, Cami. Cami is 4 seconds fast after 8 days of not having been reset, synchronized 8 days ago with the atomic clocks as represented by the Mac OS. 10 days ago, synchronized, Crow, 1 second slow, 4 seconds fast, 8 days ago, synchronized, Cami. So on behalf of Ward Green, it's Hammy the Crow and Cami saying bye for now.